From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The presidents of Idaho's colleges and universities did a lot of traveling this year. They went around the state, they went around the country, even overseas. Now, some of those trips covered state house meetings, conferences, and sporting events. One trip was to Japan to sign an international partnership to train more students to work in the semiconductor industry. Now, some of those trips were free, some were chartered flights, and after sifting through a lot of records, Idaho Ed News found the president spent $150,000 over 12 months, and at least one Idaho lawmaker is questioning that spending. Kevin Rickert, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Ed News, joins us now to talk about his story. And Kevin, I just said your last name wrong for the first time ever. It's Richard. So my apologies.
You threw me off. That was not expected.
It wasn't expected to come out of my mouth either. So I apologize.
But I've been called a lot worse. So it's okay. We're good.
Yeah, me too. So there you go. Okay. Let's talk about these trips. As I mentioned, you know, a lot of these presidents, They travel within the state, especially when the legislature is in session. They go to sporting events, all of that. So with that said, where did some of these presidents go?
Really all over the place geographically and all over the place in terms of reasons for traveling. And I really tried to get at that in the story, really try to give a full picture of what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about trips in, you know, the case of Marlene Trout, the president of Boise State University, we're talking about trips to Japan and Switzerland and Finland, all within the span of a few weeks. For Scott Green, the president of the University of Idaho, we're talking about a lot of trips within the Northwest, including a trip that we had to ferry it out that, you know, involved a meeting in San Diego with officials of the University of Phoenix back in April when that deal was in negotiation. Kevin Satterley, the president of Idaho State University, hardly left the state. Most of his trips were by car, and a lot of them were between the Idaho State University's main campus in Pocatello and Boise, where he had business at the State House or with the State Board of Education. So it really covered the gamut and really wanted to explain that in as much detail as possible so the readers would have a fair and complete sense of what we're talking about.
So let's talk about the public records request that your organization did. What time frame were you looking at specifically when you requested those?
We got a lot of data, Gemma. And in the case of Boise State, I have data that goes into July and August. But really, to do apples to apples, what I wanted to get was the data for the budget year of 2022 to 2023. So we're talking about July 1st of 2022 to July 30th of this year. That was the window that I wanted to look at because I could get the numbers for all four presidents. I could get the numbers for Governor Brad Little so that we could compare and say, you know, actually, you know, Marlene Trump's travel, Scott Green's travel, more expensive than the governor's.
Right. That's what stood out to me. So can we talk a little bit more in depth in particular about President Trump and President Green? Because, as you said, they both outspent the governor's travels. So let's start with President Trump, because having read the article that you wrote, Kevin, I believe she had the majority of the international travel.
She had all of the international travel, Gemma, and almost all of her travel was out of state. And when you think about that, that kind of makes sense, because a lot of the other presidents, they have to come to Boise to meet with legislators or meet with the state board. Marlene Trump is here, so she didn't have to leave town to go testify before a legislative committee. I really focused in on the Hiroshima trip because I thought it was really interesting and I thought it raised a lot of good questions. So back in May, Marlene Trump went to Hiroshima for the G7 summit. And the reason she went for the G7 summit was that at the time, she and the presidents of, I want to say, 10 other universities in the U.S. and Japan signed an agreement that Micron Technology was pushing that would change the way these schools prepare students for the semiconductor field. You know, change their curriculum. It would update the way they prepare students to head into the semiconductor industry. So she signed that memorandum of understanding in Hiroshima at a ceremony. She also met with President Biden, She also says, look, I also toured Micron's facilities in Japan. I got a sense of what they're already doing and how education might support what they're trying to do. Met with member institutions, because that's really what I wanted to get at. You know, this is a $5,800 mm-hmm. trip. The taxpayer is covered. $4,400 plane ticket to get her there. And what I really wanted to ask is, did you literally have to go to Japan to make this deal happen? I mean, you know, we're in the Zoom era where we can do anything remotely. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to sign the agreement, you know, at the table with the other presidents, right? The point that I was getting at with her and what she explained, you know, in response to my questions was, you know, I did more than just sign an agreement. I did go to her facilities. I did talk to our member facilities. I got a sense of how, as a partnership, we're going to support, you know, students in Idaho and students across the nation and across the world. So put all of that out there to let people kind of draw their own conclusions about whether this trip was excessive or whether it carried out an essential function for Boise State. Because I don't think anybody could argue with the function of, you know, trying to prepare students better for jobs mm-hmm. in the semiconductor industry. I don't think you could find anybody to find fault with that. The question is, did you have to go overseas at a cost of $5,800 to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then she also had two more international trips. And we should say that she was invited, right, Kevin, to yes. all of these conferences that she was a part of. And it is fair to note that she did cover what? Part of her airfare for one of those, because she was going to take some time away from the university on vacation.
Right. That was the trip to Switzerland in the end of June. She covered part of the airfare. And yeah, again, invited guests to these international conferences, you know, Trump will counter and say, you know, I'm learning things, I'm picking up things that I can bring back to, you know, to my job as a president. And, you know, can you quantify that? Probably not. It's probably impossible to, you know, it's like any kind of professional development that any of us do in our line of work. We go, we learn things, we make mm-hmm. contacts, we make connections that may pay dividends down the road. It's really hard to say, we got this much of value out of this trip, and here's the dollar figure that we can attach mm-hmm. to it. It's tough to do. I understand that.
Okay. So I want to talk now about President Green at the University of Idaho. Yes. So here we've talked about the fact that Marlene Trump spent almost $50,000 in travel. She did all of the international travel. Scott Green mm-hmm. spent more. Not by much, but he did spend more. And Kevin, the thing that just stood out to me in your article, and I'm going to just quote your article. You said, in mid-May, at the same time Trump was in Japan, Green was embarking on a $5,942 trip of his own, and he never left the state. That's because he presided over graduation ceremonies in Boise and Idaho Falls, which all of the University of Idaho presidents have done. The airfare mm-hmm. alone cost $4,728. I mean, that's more than what it cost for President Trump to go to Hiroshima, Japan. I think people are going to be stunned by that number.
I was, and that's part of why, as I was putting this project together and we got that spreadsheet from U of I saw that trip among others, and I was like, it cost that much to travel to Boise? And, you know, sure enough, as we dug into it and we got explanations, they said that it was because, you know, the university had to charter planes to do some of this travel. Now, in this case, with the graduations, it's a charter where he was on the plane, I think, with seven other university officials. You know, they were moving the equipment around that you need, you know, for a graduation ceremony in Boise and Idaho Falls. So, you know, all of a sudden now you're talking about eight people flying two trips to Boise and Idaho Falls, where we're, you know, commercial air travel is fairly limited. Again, people can kind of look at it and say, is this is this excessive or is this appropriate? Because again, I don't think anybody would argue that the president of the University of Idaho should be at graduation ceremonies in Boise and Idaho mm-hmm. Falls. You know, those students are graduating. That's a big point in their lives. It should be honored by the administration of the university, the same as it is at the main campus in Moscow. Nobody can argue about that, I don't think. But at what point does the cost become a concern? That's really the crux of this whole article and what made it really kind of an interesting article to research.
Well, and I think too that it's that idea of do you really need to charter a flight, right? I mean, is that the best use of dollars? And I think that's a question probably many taxpayers would have.
And what makes the charter question so interesting with the University of Idaho, Gemma, is that the U of I is subsidizing commercial air travel to Moscow Pullman. They've had this agreement in place with Alaska Airlines for the past couple of years where they said, U of I said, look, Alaska, if you run these flights and you don't get a 10% profit margin off of these flights, we'll subsidize you. It's so important to us that we have enhanced air service to our campus community. We'll offer you a subsidy. And both years they've had to subsidize us, $400,000 a year. So in a sense, taxpayers are paying twice. They're paying to subsidize Alaska's air service. They're also paying, you know, in several cases for chartered air service that the university said, look, there was no other way to do it. You know, even with Alaska's enhanced flights, we're really only talking about one flight a day, not every day. Sometimes it just didn't work logistically. So, you know, your options are very limited in terms of air travel if you can't make that one flight work. So again, we were just trying to put all this information out so people can draw their own conclusions. It's not as cut and dried as I thought it was going to be going into it.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you really quick. We're talking with Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News, about his really in-depth story on Idaho's four universities, presidents, and what they spent on travel over the last 12 months. So definitely read that article. So Kevin, once you crunched all those numbers, you then sent those numbers to the State Board of Education. What did the board have to say about this?
Well, the president of the State Board, Linda Clark, was defended the university president. She just said, look, presidents are the CEOs of their colleges and universities. They have to do travel. They have to meet with fellow, you know, leaders in education, in business, in government. And nobody can argue about that either, I don't think. I mean, at some point, a university president has to get off of campus. It has to meet with business leaders, has to meet with elected officials, has to meet with donors. You know, at some point, there is such a thing as too little travel, and I get that. But the question we were trying to get at is any of this too much travel? Linda Clark was, you know, like I said, she defended what the presidents were doing. She said at the same time, we expect them to be mindful of taxpayer cost. I got a very different take on this whole situation when I talked to Wendy Horman, who's the co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee.
Okay, so let's talk about her reaction when you talked with her and what she had to say about this these expenditures.
She was surprised. You know, I sent her the same numbers I sent to the State Board and ultimately to Dr. Clark. When Representative Horman looked at the numbers, she was kind of taken aback by how much we're talking about, how much travel, especially some of the international travel, I think kind of, you know, caught her eye. And she asked the question that I suspect some readers will ask as well. What are students getting for this? What are taxpayers getting for this? How does this directly link back to the mission of a college or a university? And she said, you know, it just doesn't look like a lot of the travel really drilled down into things like college affordability, college access, student success, student outcomes, the stuff that universities are really having to figure out how to do right. So I'll be curious to see if any of this comes up further at the legislature next session, if any questions are raised in the budget committee. You know, we'll see. We're a few months out from that.
So, Kevin, is there any oversight into presidents' travels in the sense of, do they have to go to the State Board of Education and get this travel approved? Or can they just spend whatever on travel and then, you know, taxpayers many times foot the bill?
It looks to me, Gemma, that the presidents can book their travel. They can do this pretty much. They don't have to get the State Board's approval for everything that they do in advance. But you do have to remember that the four presidents do answer to the State Board of Education. They do have annual performance reviews before the State Board. So you would imagine that if this were really becoming a problem that the state board perceived to be a problem, it would come up in the review process. The only thing that really governs the president's travel, as far as I could tell, you do have state board guidelines. You do have guidelines from the state controller's office that generally say, you have to try to be as economical as possible in your travel, that you're supposed to try to be as cost effective as possible. And I believe the language in the controller's guidelines suggests that if you book a trip and it's much more expensive than the least expensive option, the state does have the right to then turn around and say, we're only going to reimburse what would have been the least expensive option, and you're on the hook for the rest. So, I mean, I suppose those things are possible. I suppose that could come up. I have no evidence that it has come up at this point, and I don't foresee that happening, but I could be wrong.
Well, and I, going back to the point that Linda Clark made to you, is that they are the CEOs of their organization, right? 100% that they are. I think that you could argue that there is a difference, though, in the sense that many CEOs are in private industry, right? They are these presidents are, yes, CEOs. However, they are state employees. So therefore, this travel is on the backs of taxpayers. So,
It's on the public, absolutely. It's on the public tax. It's on the burden of the public, one way or the other, whether we're talking about taxpayer money or donor money. And in the University of Idaho's case, most of the money came from donors. But donors are supporting the university. They're making the decision to give money to an account that Scott Green can use for travel. But yeah, your point is that this is very different than a private industry CEO or a private college president. We are talking about public money in one fashion or another.
So bottom line, Kevin, before I let you go, the main takeaway when you dug into this, because definitely, through this conversation, I think we've both been surprised by I think some of the things that you uncovered through your public records requests.
I think my takeaway is that, this is a really, I find it a fascinating story to research and write because there were so many layers to it. There's so much complexity to it. It's not as cut and dried as to say, oh my God, look at all this money they're spending. How dare they? And it isn't as cut and dried as saying, well, they're doing their jobs. They're doing exactly what they should be doing. And I was struck Monday morning. I was checking my emails. I got a couple of emails right after the story dropped, and one person was outraged at how much money was being spent. Another person wrote and said, I kind of agree with what Linda Clark was saying in your story. They do need to get out. The presidents do need to expose themselves to other thought leaders outside of the state of Idaho. To get those kind of two very different snapshot reactions from readers, that was the takeaway for me, that it's really complicated. And frankly, when I get that kind of reaction from readers on a story like this, I feel pretty good because, it's not my job to tell people how to think about this kind of a story, and that people are thinking about it and reaching very different conclusions, I think it's a good thing.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.